What a joy to be here today and to just see all of you here. We are celebrating Father's Day today, and I want to say, I know you find this hard to believe, but I want to say just a few words to you about the importance of fatherhood today. It is extremely important that we understand the vital role that fathers play in God's economy of things. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at one verse of scripture from the Old Testament as our beginning place. It's in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6. This is one of my favorite verses for fathers, and it tells us the importance of fathers. So I want to read this verse. It's on the screen. It's printed in your bulletin and the scriptures that we're going to look at today. So let's just consider what God has to say about fatherhood. You see, here's the verse, Malachi 4:6. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Well, let's look at that again. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Centuries before it happened, the ancient Old Testament prophet Malachi predicted the coming of this guy in the New Testament that we call John the Baptist. And John launched his ministry just prior to the ministry of Jesus. And Malachi described the focus of John's ministry. He described the primary thing that John was going to do when he came to planet Earth just before Jesus came. And he described that when he wrote the words that we just read. Here's what John would do, Malachi said. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I, that's God speaking, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So you see, Malachi's prediction emphasizes the importance of fathers, the strategic, significant role that fathers play in the population of planet Earth. And so I want us to spend just a few moments analyzing Malachi's prediction. The prophet predicted that John the Baptist would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then when the hearts of fathers are turned to their children, the hearts of the children naturally turn to their fathers. I have never seen a child that does not love his father and does not adore his father or her father when the heart of that dad is truly turned to the children. And so it's so crucial that we understand that. If this doesn't happen, if the hearts of fathers are not turned to their children, and as a result of that, then the hearts of children do not turn to their fathers, then Malachi's prediction was that God will come and strike the earth with a curse. And when significant numbers of fathers fail at a particular location on planet Earth, then that population lives under a curse. And I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to recognize that in our culture today, to a large degree, we're living in an environment where vast numbers of fathers have not had their hearts turned to their children. And why would I say that? Why would I say that we're living in a culture when many of the hearts of fathers have not been turned to their children? Why would I make a statement like that? And the reason that I would make a statement like that can be summed up in three primary words. The first one is value. Far too many fathers don't place appropriate value on their children. And then time. Far too many fathers don't spend any time, and many more don't spend enough time with their children. And then work. We're living in a time when too many dads, I just don't know how to say it any other way than to say it like this, they're just too lazy to work. And they don't understand their role as someone who works to provide for the needs of their children. And so I want us to talk about each one of these three things just briefly. Value. When a father's heart is turned to his children, he values his children. They become a priority with him. He puts his children's needs before his own. I want to give you a little personal thing that happened in my presence just a little over a week ago during our last food pantry and clothes closet ministry. I was talking about this particular characteristic of a father whose heart is turned to his children, because I gave a little devotional about the importance of fatherhood at the food pantry, because I knew Father's Day was coming up and I had a captive audience there. I could pretty well say whatever I wanted to say. And so I did that. And as I was talking about fathers valuing their children, this woman spoke up in one of the groups, and she said, "I work at a convenience store. And a few days ago, a man came in with his little boy, And the boy was asking his daddy for a candy bar. And the dad said to him, I can't afford a candy bar for you, as he paid for his cigarettes. Now, I want you to think about that. How much value did that father place on his child? How much value did that father place on that little boy? I would say that this man and thousands of others just like him don't value their children the way they ought to value their children, because if they did, they would put their children's needs above their own. And you know what God says about things like that? What God says about fathers valuing their children? This is what God says. He makes a general statement and applies to everybody, but it particularly applies between dad and children. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He said, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, if valuing others by putting their needs before our own needs is God's general rule, it should certainly be the rule that governs the attitudes and the actions of fathers toward their children. When you have your heart turned to your children, you value them. And when you value them, you put their needs as a greater priority than your own. You put them before yourself. The next thing I want to talk about is time. When a father's heart is turned to his children, he spends time with them, attempting to instill in them a godly way of life, because he knows that that's the very best way of life. Moses wrote to the men of ancient Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and he said, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. A man whose heart is turned to his children is a man whose heart has first been turned to God. And when a man's heart is turned to God, then the commandments that God give become important to him. And they're to be on your hearts today. And then notice what he says. When you get God's commands on your own heart, then he says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Now, how many dads are doing this today? How many dads are taking the time to make a spiritual impact on the lives of their children by impressing on them what they need to know from God, the commands of God? And notice the time that it takes to do that. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week process. Talk about these things. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. He said, every moment of the day we need to be seeking to influence our children in the ways of God, and it takes time to do that. Don't think you can bring your kids to church for an hour a week and put them over at the children's ministry and expect somebody else to do this for you, dads. You've got to take the responsibility of doing it yourself. Third thing I wanted to talk to you about is work. And I get really steamed about this one. Work. When a father's heart is turned to his children, he works diligently to provide for their needs. In other words, he holds down a job. He gets up and he goes to work every day. And when he gets to work, he works hard and he gets along with his bosses so that he doesn't get fired, so that he can provide for the needs of his children. Now, that's just pretty well putting it down there where everybody ought to be able to get hold of it. A father whose heart is turned to his children keeps a job so he can provide for the needs of his children. Now, I understand sometimes through no fault of your own, the company shuts down. This happens, that happens, and you're out of a job. But when that happens to a dad whose hearts are turned to his children, he gets out and finds a job. And I got to say this, in that circumstance, any job will do. You get that? That means I don't want to go to work at this place, even though I have the opportunity to go to work at this place, because I don't like to do that. I don't like that environment. I don't like that heat. I don't like that kind of work. It doesn't really matter what you like or what you don't like. When you have a family, you do whatever you got to do to meet the needs of your children if your hearts are turned to them. Why did you get me started on that? But that's just so crucially important. Paul wrote this. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith, is worse than an unbeliever. Did you get that? If he doesn't provide for his own, if he won't get out from under the sheets in the morning and go to work and hold down a job, if he won't provide for his own, then he is denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. Now, how many fathers in our day simply do not hold down a steady job? That's why I'm telling you. We're living in a culture where people's hearts are not turned to their children. Fathers' hearts in many instances are not turned to their children. And so because that's the case, then Malachi warned that if fathers don't turn their hearts to their children, then God would bring on a curse. Isn't that what he said? If you don't do this, then what? God will come and strike the earth with a curse. That's what he wrote. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. I don't think you have to be a brain surgeon to see that in America today, we're living under a curse. I think anybody with any knowledge of what's going on around us can see that. And so the question is, what does this curse look like in our day? America has produced at least two generations of young people, many of whom are lazy and disrespectful and immoral and angry and violent and addicted and rebellious. Is that a pretty good estimation of what's going on in our world around us? It's there. A significant number of teens and young adults are convicted of murder and other violent crimes every year. Teen suicide is at an all-time high. Thousands of babies are either born to or aborted by unwed teen mothers every year. Are we living under a curse or what? The most recent symptom of the curse in America are the riots that have broken out in major urban centers across the country, beginning in Ferguson, Missouri. Riots breaking out, and it's just spread all over the country. The agitators say that these are, and I'm sure you've heard this by the pundits that talk on the news shows, that they're race riots. You've heard that, right? That they're race riots. But I say, these are not race riots. I call them daddy riots. I call them riots that are the result of fatherlessness in major urban centers. They're the result of a couple of generations of young people who have grown up under a curse because their daddies have failed to turn their hearts to their children. Statistics say that 42% of young people in urban centers in America today are growing up with an absentee father. Do you know what that means? It means that those fathers did not have their hearts turned to their children, so that at some point along the way, they abandoned them. And so the people in those major population centers in America are living under a curse, and that curse includes laziness, disrespect, immorality, abortion, anger, violence, murder, addiction, rebellion, and then finally rioting. We see it going on before our very eyes. And so I tell you what I want us to do. I want us to understand that the result of absentee fathers and fathers that have not turned their hearts to their children is incredible. 42% of all children living in major urban centers in America today have an absentee father, and that means a dad left somewhere along the line. And those statistics include 63% of black children in major cities growing up without a daddy. 35% of Hispanic children in major cities growing up without a daddy. And 28% of white children in major urban centers in America today growing up without a daddy, because these men never had their hearts turned toward their children, and somewhere they jumped ship. They abandoned their families. The curse came. And we're seeing the evidence of it before our very eyes. Here's the conclusion. I know you're shocked that it's just now 11 o'clock and I'm already saying conclusion, but here it is. I want to conclude this sermon by offering you the solution to the problem. What can we do to get the curse lifted? It doesn't do a lot of good for us to just curse the darkness and rant and rave about what's wrong if we don't provide some kind of practical solution to say, what can we do about it? How can we change this situation? So first, I want to talk to you men. First, men can step up and start acting like fathers, the fathers God wants you to be. Just do what Paul said that you should do when he wrote this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I want you dads to take that seriously. If you haven't shared a scripture with your kid this week, you can hardly claim to be bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you haven't read them a Bible story, if you haven't said something to them about Jesus, if you haven't prayed with them, if you haven't done something of a spiritual nature with your children this week, you can hardly claim to be bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that's what God says we got to do. We've got to begin to be the godly influence on our children that God has called us to be. And when we do that, then our hearts begin to be turned to our children. Their hearts begin to be turned to us. And the curse can be lifted. That's the only way to get it lifted. And then women, what can you do? You can pray for a generation of men to become godly fathers. Just do what Paul said every Christian should do when he wrote, never stop praying in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It ought to be a consistent prayer of every woman who's a mother to pray that her husband, who is the father of her children, would have his heart turned toward those children. Now, I know it's a little risky to say that in the culture in which we live because we got so many broken families and blended families and absentee fathers and all kinds of conflict going on within the family. But women, the greatest thing that can happen to your children is the biological father of that child turn his heart toward that child. And then that child have their heart turned toward their father. And then the curse be lifted. The curse be lifted.